Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and Hotep, and welcome once again to another episode of Dubwise Talk. I am Jude Adara, your host, and I am smiling from ear to ear because we have a very special guest on today. Her name is Mrs. Deidre McDowell. She's an actress, she's an author, a producer, model, and probably something I've forgotten, but we will be hearing from the beloved and the lovely and the beautiful Miss McDowell shortly. But before we do, I would like to say that we are brought to you by Judah, I'm sorry, we are brought to you by Lalibela's Ethiopian Restaurant. They are located at 5633 North Ashland Avenue for the finest Ethiopian cuisine, for the finest decorum, and for the finest service. Do yourself a favor. Take your loved one to see Samson and his lovely wife, Peru, at Lalibela's Ethiopian Restaurant. In addition, we are brought to you by Popcorn Haven. They are located at 111th and Cicero, conveniently on the southwest side of Chicago, with plenty parking and over 500 flavors. 500 flavors of popcorn, so I'm sure they may have one for your particular palate. Now, without much further ado, we would like to receive the most beautiful and talented DJ with a gigantic yay. Welcome, welcome, beloved. How are you?
Thank you so much for that welcome. I'm doing great. Thank you very much for having me.
Yes, it is our pleasure. Finally, the day has come that we have you on. The audience would like to know a little bit about you, so I'm going to read a little bit of your biography, and it reads as, let me get on my spectacles here. Actress, okay. Model, writer, producer is not just a multi-talent, multifaceted title. It is an earned badge for Deidre McDowell. She was born in Brooklyn, New York, with Panamanian roots. Being the first American born in her family, they often joked about her celebrity status. Little did they know the power behind this choice of words. She was raised alone by her mother, who always instilled a sense of value in her by giving her the best of everything. Deidre's mother worked overtime hours just to be able to afford private school tuition for her 8 years. When Deidre was 7 years old, her mother took her one evening to a ballet performance at Lincoln Center. As they sat and enjoyed the show from the balcony, Deidre asked, "But Mom, how do I get down there?" And by the down there, she wasn't talking about in front row seats. She was talking about the stage. The next day, her mother signed her up for ballet classes. And then it reads, she was inspired to write and create Love Always, Eartha Kitt, from an undying passion she developed toward Eartha Kitt after reading all of Miss Kitt's autobiographies and memoirs in preparation for a one-woman show about Eartha Kitt. As an actress, she has numerous appearances in both feature-length and short films, such as playing the ex-wife of Oscar-nominated actor William Dafoe in the sci-fi movie 4:44, Last Day on Earth. She has also been spotted in several films of the Tribeca Film Festival. In addition, she certainly isn't a stranger to the commercial world. Deidre is proud to claim appearances in commercials for Time Warner Cable, Pearl Vision, Home Depot, Spray and Wash, and We and Allegra D, to name a few. In the soap opera arena, she has worked alongside the infamous Susan Lucci, Erica Kane on All My Children. Well, all of this firsthand knowledge and information, Deidre began forming the idea of writing and producing her own films someday. And lo and behold, here we are sitting talking about her energy. Again, now let's talk about Deidre. You were born in New York, and you were raised singly by your mother. So what kind of art were you exposed to other than that trip to Lincoln Art Center?
Well, the interesting thing is, you know, it's definitely, it was an inner born thing, because I used to definitely sketch a lot. I would sketch everything that I saw, you know. And that's just something that came from nothing. I can't even explain it. But my mother noticed that about me. And, you know, she allowed me to participate in different art classes after she saw I was interested in that. I mentioned, of course, the ballet classes she took me to after, you know, being inspired by, you know, seeing Lincoln's shows at Lincoln Center. I also used to just make up songs, sit and write and make up songs just on my own. So the art thing, it was just a part of this child. And my mother just embraced it, and you know, that's all she could do. It was like we were just discovering each other, and as she discovered who I was and who I wanted to be, she really encouraged that. I was really I was very fortunate enough to not be, you know, forced to go into any kind of career because of the family or because of it's the right thing to do. My mom just really embraced who I was.
That is a wonderful, wonderful energy that your mother displayed. She had a lot of wisdom to harness the energy that you had in drawing and extended that with classes. And she, yeah, as you said, that she also had to work tireless hours to get that those classes and intuition and things done for you.
That's right. That's right. And it was, you know, a different time, I guess, back then. She, you know, taught me how to, you know, get around on public transportation. And then I was, you know, an obedient girl. So, you know, we had a system to check in. If she was working overtime, I would call and make sure she knew that I got home safe and everything. But she did it all for me. When I would be at the classes and she would sit and wait in the waiting room just for hours, you know, like doing nothing, reading a magazine or something while her little girl was, you know, developing her art. I remember these moments as a child, and I just always, even as it was happening, even though I was little, my little mind, I saw it and I appreciated that. You know, I appreciated that as a human being, as her doing that.
That is a wonderful, wonderful time. I forgot what I was going to ask. So you took those classes, and when you graduated, when did you think about pursuing art as a profession, as a livelihood?
It was, you know, sometimes when you're young and you have all these choices, and you are sort of encouraged to go one way or the other. I ended up studying fashion and going into fashion because I really like to draw a lot and I love style and everything. I went into fashion for quite a while, working at different children's wear companies and designing for them.
Wow.
But that feeling about wanting to be on the stage, it never left me. It never left me. And it wouldn't go away. And so the first thing that happened was, you know, I would participate in local plays and things like that, and I always loved it. I was invigorated by it. But then one day I was just sort of going about my business and someone, you know, discovered and asked me to audition for a commercial. And when I did that and I got the commercial, I was in the process of filming the commercial. You know, the entire process was very, very comfortable to me. I felt like I wanted to just be in this arena, you know, and that was the day I made up my mind and said, you know what, I'm going to do whatever I can do to focus myself this way. And it started with just right then and there, taking acting classes after that. And that just led me step by step into, you know, meeting different people, auditioning more, and you know, to the point where I decided, okay, I want to do this full time. And the thing about it is, like, when I hear these inner voices or, you know, a message that says do this, I don't wait. Like when I knew when I was filming the commercial, I felt like this is feels right. It feels like home. I take action right away, and I love being able to have that happen in my experience in life. You know, it's a good feeling because you feel very guided when that happens.
Indeed. Let me ask you, when you were in school for acting, who were some of your impactful instructors, and what lessons did they leave with you that you will never, ever forget?
That's a very good question. Well, I studied at the T. Schreiber Acting Studio, which stands for Terry Schreiber. It's a very good acting school. Ed Norton is an alumni of that school, and he stands by it very proudly. And what I learned there was to trust my that naturally I'm a vulnerable artist, and the way they guided me through different exercises and scenes, I saw it there for the first time. I was just being myself, but I learned that I had a vulnerability that is something to cherish. It's like knowing who you are and
exactly.
Okay. You're vulnerable.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Yeah. That's
and
your
so
space.
I embraced it.
Yeah. I was saying
that
is your space. That is your personal space that no one else can occupy if you be true to who you are, you know.
That's right.
And so when they are looking for that, they will remember that you were in that space that they're looking for. So I applaud that. That is a very, very valuable lesson for any aspect of art, any of the specters, in my opinion.
Absolutely. I really agree. And the other really important career move that I made was to study at the Susan Batson Studio with Susan Batson, who is acting coach to many, many A-list actors. And from her direction, I learned to always be truthful. She wrote a book called Truth, and there are many layers that contribute into the walking, talking human being. And with her, I studied the different layers within myself, my own truth. So I really cherish studying with her. It was not always an easy journey because there was sometimes resistance that came up on my part, because sometimes there's some things that are uncomfortable to visit, but it is a truth that is there. And getting to the heart of it is very liberating. It's really liberating and very powerful. So I feel that, you know, I really felt like I went to another level studying there, and I studied there also with Mariska Phillips, who is my director in this short film that that I produced and starred in. She was also working there at the time as an acting teacher and coach. So yeah, I had the best guides, the best instructors, and I'm really, really fortunate to have. You know, I didn't have to, you know, go study at a lot of different places. I just went to a couple of really good ones.
Well, so, you know, when you are in harmony with your karma, your karma will lead you exactly where you need to be. And you couldn't map it out any better than what you would do if you were led by your karma. But I wanted to get back to the truth thing. When you say you were discovering your truth, is there like a session before you acted, or was it the actual method of acting that helped you discover that truth?
It's the actual method of acting. There are several different exercises that really focus on certain aspects of a life or a character. Like, for instance, one of the exercises is called the private moment. And you have to, you know, be completely transparent with your, you know, in front of people and perform a realistic, truthful exercise that would actually happen if nobody were around. If nobody at all were around, that would completely, you know, reveal, you know, a truth, a truth about you. A private moment is the interesting thing is I did an exercise that my grandmother had recently passed away, and I hadn't, you know, there's a lot that I hadn't really let go about, you know, that, and it's the exercise started with me holding up a picture of her to my face and looking in the mirror, which mirror wasn't really there, but it was all, you know, you're imagining that you're really acting towards an audience. Uh-huh. And what, you know, the unfolding of the emotions that came. If you're with someone and this is happening, you're going to be a little bit guarded, right? If you're by yourself if you're by yourself at home, there's a whole other level of something that's going to happen. You're going to pray. You're going to, you know, there's all kinds of things that are going to come out. And I was able to release a lot of it through the exercise. And
while on stage,
you know, really, while on stage. it's really, you know, like I said, when Susan works with you, you have to just be prepared to go places that you didn't think you could go. So I went there, and it's such it's like I said, it's really liberating. You know, as people, we have to walk around, we have to protect ourselves. We have when we leave our home and we go out into the world, we're already wearing a mask because of what society teaches us that we have to be, or how we think people are going to perceive us. And so it starts from the moment you walk out the door. You're already in the civilian public, you know, persona thing. But the thing about working with this method is we get to really examine what happens before you leave. That, you know, before you put all that on, in order to survive, I have to, you know, emphasize that it's just a survival thing. You know, it's not saying that everybody's fake or anything like that. It's just we do what we do to survive out there.
Yeah, we're trained.
Yes, we're trained. And in order to, you know, be truthful, let's just look at what's really going on inside.
Let me ask you something. I was debating this with an artist friend of mine who has an MFA. And I was saying that television has really played a deleterious effect on artists, because When you turn on the TV and you look at TV all the time, you don't have the inspiration to create. And actually, we didn't have a debate. He more or less agreed with me. What is your opinion on how television impacts your craft, working on what you need to be doing?
You know, I have to say that, and I know it's not the popular, it may not be the popular opinion, but I'm really, lately I've been very discouraged by the just outburst of all the reality shows out there. I grew up appreciating, you know, art
and stories,
the
characters.
Yeah, I appreciated writers. Appreciated, you know, someone in the background wanting to tell a story and then having it have a climax and an ending. I really appreciated that. And the more the reality shows pop up, I get really sad. I just kind of, you know how I feel, Judah? I kind of wish that it's just a phase and it's going to go away. And it's not going. It doesn't seem to be going anywhere. So I want to know where it's going. I can't believe that it's really happening.
When it first embarked on the scene, I was like you. I was saying this is a phase. No way would the public fall for this okey-doke. But the public is dumber now than they were when we were kids because we wouldn't have stood for this crap. You know,
right.
It's just,
that's the
crap.
Truth. It's really true.
We had real drama. We had real comedy. Variety shows with real musicians that played instruments and didn't talk. They sang.
That's right.
You know.
Yes. It was talent. It was talent. I mean, it's just, you know, harder to come by. They're still out there, but it's harder to come by. And I just, every time I see a new one, I go, oh, my goodness, another one. And it's and the thing about it is it's taking space. It's taking up space of, you know, it could be another production. But, hey, this is where we are in this time. And it's something to really look at. And like you said, there is a difference between, you know, the way we would take it if we were younger and looking at this. We wouldn't buy that. So it's very interesting to see why this is really unfolding the way that it is.
And they're making all the money. They're making all the money, you know. So, but be that as it may, I'd like to say that we are brought to you by Lalibela's Ethiopian restaurant. They are located at 5633 North Ashland in Chicago. And we are also brought to you by Popcorn Haven. They are located at 111th and Cicero on the southwest side of Chicago with ample parking. At this time, we're going to take a break and listen to a song here. We're going to listen to this song I wrote called Dogon, and we'll be right back with more. And we'll be talking about Eartha Kitt and all about her. So we'll be right back with the lovely and talented and most entertaining Deidre McDowell. McDowell. I want to ask you your mother's name. That is the question I wanted to know. What is your beloved mother's name?
Her name is Shirley Davis.
Shirley Davis. And is she still with us?
Yes, she is.
Excellent. Well, greetings, Shirley, and thank you for raising such a talented and lovely daughter.
Oh, now, so nice.
Yes, ma'am, for sure. Let's talk about Eartha Kitt. What made you choose, of all the actresses in the world, what led you to Eartha Kitt?
I think I'm going to have to say that she chose me. I wouldn't have dreamed that I could play this amazing woman. But what happened was, in studying with Susan Batson, you know, I was explaining before how we went through several exercises in order to, you know, discover what makes a walking, talking human being. And one of the exercises, Judah, was it's called the animal exercise. And interestingly enough, it's been observed that we all wear, in our natural characters, we all wear the characteristics of a certain animal. It's so fun and interesting to discover what animal is inside of you.
Yes.
So, you know what I mean? So, and
yes,
I was
yes.
just doing this animal exercise, not thinking about Eartha Kitt at all. The purpose of the exercise is to take all of the characteristics of the animal into your body, literally breathe and think like the animal would think, but the difference is you would put the animal up on two legs as though you are a human being, but if you, say, I was a cat, but I was a lion, right? So I had... imagine that my hands had the pads that a paw would have. So if
yes.
I literally had pads on my hand, it would make a difference if I put my hand down, the weight of it. And
yeah.
all of these things just informed my body just very naturally, you know. anyway, to make
That's
a little...
interesting.
And
that
also,
is very...
It is a wonderful exercise, and so it would
it's
also
transforming,
inform, like, if I'm
actually.
Sitting... It is. So
yeah.
if I'm sitting down on a chair, and if I know that I have a tail, I'm not going to sit on it directly. I'm going to sort of tilt my, you know, my bottom to let my tail fall to the side. And all of these things, you know, it's just a behavioral thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, after I was done with the exercise, I was completely done. Susan just looked at me and she said, "I see Eartha." And that's all she said. She says, "I see Eartha." And I felt the chills on my arm and everything just get really clear, not knowing why it was clear, not knowing what was ahead of me, not knowing even much about her. But the sound of her name in that moment just rang true. And, you know, Susan at the time was preparing to put on a production called Slices of Lives, where you take on the character of a well-known person and you just do a slice of their life, a small part of their life, putting it under a microscope and just really visiting that person and the truth about them. And so I was really, at this point, very interested in doing Eartha Kitt and learning about her. The minute that I started just, you know, the first thing I did was, well, since we're in this age of technology, I went right home and I went to the computer and started finding what I could on her on the computer. And I looked at her face and I looked in her eyes and all of it, everything just constantly informed me, like, we are connected somehow and I don't know how and I don't know what is going on. But I just could not leave I just kept tapping and opening new tabs and YouTubes and... Then I finally Amazoned and ordered her books. And the minute the books came, I think the first one that I got, even though the first one that she wrote was Thursday's Child, I didn't get that one yet because that one was out of print. But the first one I got was Alone With Me. And I opened the page and, you know, I have to say that I felt her right there. I felt her speaking. I felt her talking to me. And I just softened inside, and I wanted to just, you know, even though she had already passed away, she had literally passed away that previous year when I was doing all of this research. So she was newly departed from us.
Yes,
and
yes.
I had just felt her like if she was right there. And when I realized the truth of the woman who she was, which was this really tender, soft, vulnerable, scared little girl that never really got the love and the just the nurturing that she needed. She was forced to just grow up so fast because she was enslaved as a child. Not by her mother gave her away out of necessity to survive. She was trying to survive herself. You know, they were poor, they were homeless, they were wandering around from, you know, home to home. And she finally ended up at a home where she was working to make her way, you know, working, cleaning and working the fields for this family. So finally someone, I'm talking about Eartha Kitt's mother now, she offered to marry her mother, and he said to her, I'll marry you, but I'm not going to take that girl, the one with the light complexion, because Eartha's biological father was son of a slave owner, and basically that's that explains her slightly lighter complexion to the rest of her family. So he wouldn't take her, and he made her mother leave her. He said, you either leave her or I don't marry you. So she left her, and
wow.
Then that family, just
wow.
After her mother left her, that family, you would have to read the book. I tried to, you know, expose the truth as much as I could in my short film, but it really was sad. Eartha barely ate. She was little, like six years old. She
yeah.
barely ate because they would only feed her if the scraps, whatever was left over. And if there were no scraps, she wouldn't eat. And then so she would follow the animals around on the farm to see what tree would they go to eat the berries that what if they didn't die from eating the
yeah.
berries, then it meant the berries were okay to eat.
Yeah.
And
wow.
So she lived in you know, just this powerful
wow.
little old soul that survived all of this torment, and then constantly all she really wanted the whole time was that approval, that love. Like, do you love me? Do you accept me? I'm going to pick, you want me to pick cotton? I'm going to pick all the cotton in the world. Look at all this cotton. Do you love me now?
Oh.
It's
wow.
really just a gut-wrenching. And it really informed her character, her work ethic. I mean, everything she did was to a degree of excellence. And it was just, I mean, she's been doing it from, you know, a baby. You know, everything she
yes,
did
she
was
did.
Like the best. So you can see even, you know, she started out as a dancer after she finally moved to New York and everything. And as a dancer, she's like the best, you know,
yeah.
everything.
Yeah.
Her
yeah.
performances are, you know, she excelled at everything.
So did she
I really
ever,
admire her.
Did she ever get married and have a family or... Or she just
oh,
was
absolutely.
Just...
Yes,
oh.
She did. She did marry. She did marry, finally, this man, William Mc... why is the name drawing a blank to me?
It'll come.
His name, because I know it's similar to my name. That's how I want to say William McDowell. That's not it. But I think it's McDonald. That's what it is, McDonald.
Mm-hmm.
And but the thing about it is the marriage did not last. But it gave her the most wonderful gift, which was her baby girl, her daughter, who she named Kit. She named her Kit. yes. And
Kit.
This was the, you know, that pair, it couldn't have been better, because Eartha, knowing what love is and what a child deserves and how a child deserves to be loved, she poured it into this, you know, beautiful little girl. And
yes.
Kit is now a beautiful woman, and every time you see her, you can see that, oh, what, how wonderful she was raised. You can see the love. You can see the freedom in her.
Yeah.
You can
yeah.
see the strength and the confidence. You can see all the stuff. What that's what happens when you love, you know, unconditionally, and you give that love to someone. That's the thing that Eartha was looking for.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know,
yeah.
she knew what it felt like. She knew what it was. She's very connected, very spiritually connected, very enlightened, very enlightened. And she knew, you know, she already knew. So, yes, yeah, her family consisted
yeah.
only of her husband and one daughter, and then the divorce, but her and her daughter remained extremely close, and her daughter even grew up to be, at one point in her life, her manager. So they were inseparable
yeah.
for her entire life, even yeah. till the day that, of course, the day that she passed.
I hear that her daughter is a superb jazz singer in her own right.
I am not aware of that. I'm not aware of her talents, but I'm sure she must be. And I know she
yeah.
I know she was dance. I know she danced, but I wasn't
yeah.
aware of that. I would love to hear her sing.
Yeah.
But I haven't
yeah.
heard anything. Yeah.
Their
voices are very similar.
I was discussing today's show with a jazz aficionado, and of course he knows all those little small nuances and little crevices in the jazz world. So,
right.
But anyway, I am so happy that we had you on, and we must have you come back again if you will.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we have so much more to talk about Eartha Kitt. We are just touching the surface, I can tell. I'm just enchanted by your personality. You are a lovely guest, and I look forward to having you again. What is your sign before you go?
I'm an Aquarius.
Okay, intellectual lady, all right. Okay.
Is that what that means?
Oh, yeah, very intellectual, yes, indeed. And my daughter is Aquarius. I just love her much.
Oh,
so anyway,
really?
Yeah, she's a beautiful soul,
yeah.
beautiful soul.
Yeah.
But anyway, beloved,
sure.
I will give you a call and set up another date for you because I have
Great.
Definitely enjoyed, and I'm sure that my listening audience all over the world have enjoyed also. Please follow the show when you listen to it. Those of you who are in Radio Land, follow the show. And dear Deidre, please follow the show as well. I need all the statistics that I can get. All right.
Oh, absolutely. It's been so enjoyable, and you bet I will be following.
Good. Thanks, Goddess. All right. Speak to your mother. Tell her we love her as well.
Thank you. I will. Have a blessed day.
You too, beloved. Peace and blessings. That's all we have for today. We have enjoyed the company of Deidre McDowell. Have other exciting guests coming on this week and next week. So stay tuned, follow the show, and remember to create good things for you. Dubwise, do check out judadaramusic.com. judadaramusic.com. You will enjoy yourself. All right. Spread love. this feeling.